Please take your Bibles and turn back again to Matthew chapter 26. And this afternoon we're going to read verses 31 to 35. Remember, this is right after they had come together for the Lord's Supper, observing the Passover first and for the last time, and then coming to take the Lord's Supper, and then they sung a hymn, just as we did, as they went out to the Mount of Olives. And then we pick it up here in verse 31. This is God's holy and inspired word. Verse 31 to 35. Then Jesus said to them, "All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter answered and said to him, "Even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble." And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you that this night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Peter said to him, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And so said all the disciples. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we recognize, Lord, that we can sometimes get dull of hearing or be tired, and we can sometimes even be prideful about coming to the Lord's table and not be ready to come away from the Lord's table. And so, Lord, we ask that you prepare us for that duty. As we see in your word here today, Lord, use it to prepare us to come away in a right way from your table. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, there is the false old adage or saying, whatever you might want to call it, that there are only two things that are sure in life: death and taxes. Well, that's false for many reasons, one of which is that everything that Scripture says is true. Death is certain, and they are bound to happen. And everything that Jesus said is going to happen does happen. In Matthew 26, verses 31 to 35, Jesus assures his disciples that at least three things are about to happen. Three things that are under the sovereign power of God and are going to happen in the space of just the next few days. That's the context of what's going on here. And what Jesus tells them is about to happen to them right on the heels of what they just participated in the Lord's Supper here. Now, these assurances of Jesus that he has given to them are meant to be a help to them, to let them know that they should not be surprised by sufferings that are to come. These things weren't necessarily going to be comfortable things or even things easy to believe. Christ tells them of these things so that they would be comforted when they happen. So they wouldn't think, "Oh, this wasn't supposed to happen, and now I'm in trouble. This wasn't supposed to happen, so what's going to happen to all the promises of God that he has made to us?" Jesus does not want them to have that kind of experience. They have just been to what might be described as the mountaintop of Christian experience. For them especially, observing Passover, and then they, his disciples, observing the first Lord's Supper and hearing what Jesus had to say about that day and about his return and about the coming kingdom had to be a great and joyful experience for them. But now they were about to experience some trouble. And worshiping at the Lord's table is a good and great and wonderful experience for us as well. It is a joyful time. It is a time of remembrance of the most wonderful gift in the world, in the Lord Jesus Christ, and a time to look forward to Jesus coming back again. It's also a time that we were fed. We were fed spiritually and really in the Lord's Supper. It wasn't just a meal for feeding for pleasure. Obviously, even in the way that we take it, we take that bread and we take a little piece. We don't take it to be filled up physically. We take that wine and we take a little sip. We're not looking to fill up on the bread and the wine. We are looking to be filled up with strength and nourishment so that we may live a life that pleases Jesus. And so we are strengthened to come away from the table, to walk and to live for Jesus Christ. It has a purpose for us even this very day. But we do not live in a vacuum. We are not living in a Christian society. And so we are going to face opposition. We're going to face trouble. And we have one who hates us because he hates Jesus. And he hates his Father. And he hates the Holy Spirit. And he hates everything that has to do with Jesus. And the way that he attacks Jesus is by attacking the body of Christ. And his name is Satan. There are those who hate Christ and hate us and who want us to fall. And just because we have done this today, just because we have been in the worship of God, and just because we have been at the Lord's table, that our enemies do not step back and say, "Whoa, they've been strengthened, I better back off." They don't do that at all. Our enemies will step up their game and seek to attack us and seek to steal every joy that you have experienced here today. And seek to steal everything that you have been nourished with and encouraged by. Why can I say this? Because Peter said it in 1 Peter 5:8, saying, "We are to be sober, to be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." That's what you're up against all the time. And so today is no different. The way you spend the rest of this day is it will be helpful to you in defeating the evil one, in looking back at what the Lord Jesus has done at this table and what it represented. How you spend this day will help you to prepare to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. In this passage we read, three times Jesus used the language of absolute certainty. Quoting from Zechariah 13:7, he said, "I will strike the shepherd." This is absolute certainty that the shepherd was going to be struck. And along with that, the sheep would be scattered. Jesus also said with absolute certainty, "I will meet you in Galilee." After all this trouble, after I am crucified and buried and raised again, "I will, with absolute certainty, meet you in Galilee." And Jesus also said to Peter, with absolute certainty, "You will deny me." Each of these statements are sovereign assurances of Christ that he knows all that is about to happen to them. What is about to happen to these disciples of Jesus Christ is no surprise to Jesus, and what happens to you is no surprise to Jesus. Christ knows what happens to Christians today just like he does them. And Christ knows what's going to happen to you today after you come away from this worship service and coming away from the Lord's table. It has been a blessed time of communion with God and with each other. But the evil one does not care. He does not care. And so he's not afraid to come at you and to try and steal everything that God has accomplished in you today. So we must be ready for this, and we must be ready by knowing that God cares for us and provides for us in these troubles and these temptations. And we too can be comforted from these assurances of Christ, and we can be ready for what we'll experience when the opposition comes against us. And it will come. It will come. In verses 30 to 35, Jesus gives three assurances. In verses 30 to 31, he assures the church that trouble is coming. In verse 32, Jesus assures the church that he will come back to them. In verse 33 to 35, Jesus assured Peter that he was much weaker than he thought he was. That Peter was much weaker than he thought he was. And really, this applies to all of those who are with him there. Peter is singled out. Peter is the one who's going to have this experience of publicly denying the Lord Jesus Christ. But they all thought that there was no way they would deny the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's so much so that they would die for Jesus rather than deny him. Let's look at the first then. Jesus assures the church that trouble is coming. just shortly after telling them of this greater day of communion, that it was coming when he comes again in his kingdom, he now tells them that trouble is coming. And Jesus is letting them know as a whole group, letting them know that all of them would stumble because of him this very night. Trouble was coming, and it was coming quickly, but it was all because of Jesus. All because they were his disciples, and all because of his claim for who he was, that he was God and that he was the Savior of the world. That they all would stumble. Now, when we hear the word stumble, we might think of someone who's walking along a sidewalk, and there's a crack in the sidewalk, and they hit that little crack, and they almost fall. They take a little bit of a stumble, but the word here for stumble is trap and ensnare. And it has the idea of being enticed to sin. As Jesus would be arrested and taken into custody, the striking of the shepherd would begin. And as the disciples would see this happening, they would be enticed to save their own lives and deny that they even know Jesus. And they would be enticed to run and to abandon him. As Zechariah 13 said, they would be scattered. And in verse 56 of Matthew 26 here, it tells us that this was all done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. It wasn't just Peter. It was all of them, as the scriptures had prophesied, that the sheep would be scattered. And Jesus told them this was going to happen so that when it did, and no doubt they would be discouraged when they saw Jesus being arrested, and they would leave, and then they would see him being put on trial. They would be discouraged. This was not a shining moment for them. And so they fled. And certainly, they probably felt about as low as a disciple could feel. Maybe very similar to how we feel when we deny Christ, when we abandon him or forsake him and choose sin over him. And so they would need these words of Jesus, that what's about to happen to you has already been prophesied. It's already been decreed by God. And so do not be surprised that trouble is coming. Do not be surprised that you will do something that you cannot even dream of doing at this moment, and you will deny that you know me. And you will leave me here all alone. And you will forsake me. Because you want to save your own life. You won't die for me. You won't die for me at this moment. You will deny me, but you won't die for me now. And I imagine that was very hard for them to hear. But they needed to know that what was about to happen was already been decreed by God, already been prophesied about, and so it was sure to happen. So coming away from the Lord's table today, we need to be prepared for trouble as well. Again, as I mentioned earlier, when you're looking at a narrative passage, both here and what we read in the Old Testament, you can't say, this means that this is going to happen to us in the same way. But we know from other scripture that we have those who oppose us, those who persecute us, those who hate us. And we know that we have the devil who is going around like a roaring lion seeking to devour us. And so we know that this trouble is always just on our doorstep. So coming away from the Lord's table today, I want to exhort you to be ready. I want to exhort you to be ready to not succumb to the devil's temptations. And here's what I think are some temptations that somebody could face when they leave the Lord's table. This could happen about anything, really. It could happen about just a day of worship that is also wonderful and glorious. But especially on a day when we come to the Lord's table, what might the devil try to get you to think? What might he try to get you to succumb to so that you would not have the joy that the Lord had just given you? He might get you to think of things like, well, I didn't really get a big kick out of that, so it must not be all that the preacher or even the Word of God makes it out to be. He may try to get you to feel like it really had no impact on your life, and that those symbols that we drank and ate of were just that. They were just symbols, a recounting a day of some event that happened 2,000 years ago. The devil might get you to think that it was all just a matter of physical things that we went through this ceremony and this rite. He would try to steal your joy. He'll try to get you to think that what Jesus has promised here, he has not delivered to you yet. Those are the kind of things that we can come away from the Lord's table, that the devil might try to diminish all that you have experienced here in being nourished and strengthened in the Lord Jesus Christ. He might get you to think. He might be seeking to have you think that this was no big deal. That this was just something else that the church does or has created. He might get you to feel that it is no different. That you really did not receive God's grace at this table. That the Lord really is not working in you through this sacrament. That's the kind of trouble that may come to you. I think of those who have come for the first time. They may think, what was the big deal? But those are all lies from the father of lies. Those are all temptations to think that what the Bible says is not true and that what Jesus promised is not true. That coming to the Lord's table did not make a difference. That you were not really fed and strengthened on Christ so that you might live for Christ. Be ready for those kind of thoughts to come to your mind through the temptations of the evil one. That everything that Christ has done for you, Satan will try to deceive you into thinking it was not done for you. Imagine being at this first Lord's Supper with the Lord Jesus. And then being told, we don't know how many moments later, but soon after, you're going to abandon me. Probably not something that they could fathom. And yet God had decreed it to be so. And the disciples did abandon Jesus just as it was prophesied. But you know what? Jesus didn't tell them just that. Knowing that Jesus knew it would happen, and knowing that he was going to bring them back together again, had to be words of encouragement. You will have trouble here real shortly. But also, just in a matter of a few days, I'm going to come back to you. And that's what we see in verse 32, that Jesus assures them of this second thing. And he assures the church in this as well, that he will come back to them. In verse 32, Jesus says, after he's told them, you will be scattered, the sheep of the flock will be scattered and the shepherd will be struck. After I've been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. This is that second assurance that Jesus is going to be raised from the dead and that he's going to come back and he's going to gather them together and he is going to meet with them. And in doing this, he assures them of his love. When he promises to meet with them after he's been raised from the dead, he assures them that though he is leaving them for a little while, he's going to come back to them. Those are some of the same assurances that we get, that we talked about this morning. That even though Jesus left this earth, he did not leave us as orphans. He comforted us with the truth that the Spirit would be given to us and would comfort us and teach us and guide us and meet with us and live with us and dwell with us. And so he's doing the same thing to these apostles here. Only a shorter term absence. He's coming back, he said, and I'll meet you in Galilee. In the tomb, after he was resurrected, an angel said to the two Marys who were there in Matthew 28, verses 5 to 7, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who is crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. This is another assurance that what Jesus said would happen was going to happen. Verse 16 tells us the disciples went to Galilee and they saw him. What Jesus had assured them and sought to comfort them with did happen. These 11 disciples were by God's decree and sovereign power scattered and abandoned Jesus, but they were brought back together again to see Jesus, who once was dead but now raised to life. Yes, this trouble is going to happen to you, and I'll be leaving for a few days, but I will be back. I will return. I will be raised from the dead, and I will meet with you. That had to be a great encouragement to them. Though they were still discouraged, and there would be days when, even when all this was going on, that they even had trouble believing what was being told to them. So when we are tempted to think today and days coming that this supper with Jesus does not matter, that it makes no real difference in our lives, we need to remember what we were called to remember at this table: His death and His resurrection and His coming again. Just as He came to them again to see them in Galilee, Jesus is coming again to see us and draw us, all His people, to Himself, into His kingdom. And so we need to remind ourselves of those truths. When the devil comes and say, "What's the big deal?" Remind yourself what it is that was promised to you here in this table. That Jesus Christ is saving you from your sins, and Jesus Christ has been risen from the dead and will come back again to meet with you. In the days or hours that follow us coming to the Lord's table, we need to put our eyes on Jesus Christ, on what He did and what He has promised to us. The words of encouragement from Jesus after telling them that He would die was that He would be raised again and they would see Him again. And so you need to see Jesus again. You need to see Jesus today. Later today. Later on today. You need to keep your heart and mind focused on the Lord Jesus Christ and what He has done for you. And so do not let the devil deceive you into focusing on yourself and what you may feel. And do not think that Jesus Christ needed anything from you when you came to the table. Yes, you are called to prepare. Yes, you are called to go to the Lord and confess your sin and seek His forgiveness and do those things before coming. Jesus didn't need you to do that. Jesus received you, welcomed you as sinners. You notice that Jesus, when He said, "You're going to be scattered and you're going to abandon Me," and they did exactly that, and they denied Him and left Him there all by Himself. Jesus did not say, "And when you get things right, then I'll come and I'll show you Myself in Galilee." It wasn't conditional. It was a promise that Jesus made so that they might be encouraged to walk in strength and obedience, because this was just the beginning for them. The trouble that they would experience would mount to greater and greater trouble as the days and years went on, to the point that they would give their lives for Jesus Christ. When temptations come today concerning the Lord's Supper or anything else, look at the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 10:13 tells us, "No temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but will with the temptation also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it." Can I help but think that what Jesus was doing was helping them with the temptation that was coming? And so therefore we should all be praying today for one another, that our Father would be protecting each of us from the evil one, that we would not be deceived or be discouraged, but that we would be encouraged as we meditate upon Jesus and keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. Because when we look at Jesus, we will be humbled about ourselves. And that is what we need in coming away from the Lord's table. We need to remain humble before the Lord. Because not only did we come to this table as sinners, but we leave this table as sinners, saved by the grace of God. Well, in verses 33 to 35, we see Jesus assuring Peter that he was much weaker than he thought he was. In other words, Peter needed to be humbled. He needed to be humble. Peter's response to Jesus here, Peter said, "Even if all are made to stumble because of you." Jesus, even if what was said in Zechariah applies to some people, it doesn't apply to me. Jesus, you are wrong. Jesus, have you considered who I am? Have you considered how much I love you? Have you considered how strong I am in the faith? All these things are wrapped up in Peter's answer, saying to Jesus, even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. And you know who he was talking about when he said all? Even if all these guys who are sitting at that table with you, if they stumble, fine, but I never will. His was a claim of pride and arrogance, a claim that Jesus did not really know what he was talking about. He was claiming to be more loyal than all the other disciples, claiming to be more faithful than all the other disciples. And Jesus gave him an assurance. He said, "I say to you that this night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Peter said, "No way. Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." This will never happen. As you know, Peter did deny Jesus three times. The rooster crowed. Peter denied Jesus. The three times he was given opportunity to identify himself with Jesus, three for three, he denied him. Denied that he even knew him. And it is upon us this day to remain humble after we have come to such a great blessing of being with the Lord's people, being in communion around the Lord's table, observing the shed blood and broken body of Jesus Christ, being ever so joyful, and that joy we should have, and we should cultivate it and seek to increase upon it, and we should be thankful that we have been invited to come to the Lord's Supper by Jesus Christ. But we must remain humble. We've been invited to come to the Lord's table as sinners because of the Lord's holiness and not our own. So as we go away from the table, we should be remembering that it is our sin which was the cause of this table. And that Jesus has welcomed us to it as sinners. It was our sin, is our sin, that was laid upon him. So joyful in Christ and humble about our sinfulness, we can be at the same time. It doesn't have to be one or the other. That's one of the great things about the Christian life. We can grieve with godly sorrow and still be joyful. We can be humble about our sin and our own human nature and our sinful nature and still be joyful that in Jesus Christ we have complete forgiveness. And we can be humble in knowing that it's not all about us and Peter. It is about the Lord Jesus Christ. That this table was for his glory, not for ours. It is for our rejoicing, for our joy and our celebrating, but this table was to exalt Jesus Christ, not us. Peter, I imagine, just could not comprehend what was being said about him. That he who loved him so would deny him, not once, but three times. I don't imagine that we like the thought of the truth that we too deny the Lord Jesus Christ, that we know him. That there are times in our life that we would soon, just as soon not be known as a Christian as being known as one. But we also need to remember, as I took you to 1 Corinthians 10:13, we need to remember 1 Corinthians 10:12. And I know 1 Corinthians 10:13 is a memory verse that many of us work on. But is 1 Corinthians 10:12, is that a memory verse that you have committed to memory? Because it says this, "Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." Jesus assures us that trouble will come and the devil is seeking to devour us. So let us take our eyes off ourselves and our pride and what we might have think we might have accomplished in ourselves and keep them on the resurrected Christ, who just as he promised to gather them in Galilee, has promised to gather up us at the last day in his kingdom, that we may be full of joy and full of humility at the same time. May the Lord help us to come away from the Lord's table in such a way. Be prepared for the rest of this day. Be prepared to be humble and joyful. And may the Lord help us. Let us pray. Holy Father in heaven, how grateful, Lord, we are to have been here today, because we have been with this man, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for calling us to yourself through Jesus Christ. Lord, as we leave this place, help us not to forget what we have experienced here, how you have fed us and encouraged us to anticipate the day of Christ's return. But also, Lord, help us to be humble, knowing that we are weak, knowing, Lord, that in and of ourselves we are not strong. And we are very, very subject to falling in sin. We do pray, Lord, that you would protect us from the evil one, that you would not let him steal our joy of coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. We do also pray, Lord, that you would help us to spend this day joyfully and glorying in what you have accomplished. We pray that you'd help us through the Holy Spirit. And we ask it in Jesus' name.